This morning, we are going to read from the Old Testament prophecy by Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 1 through 8. I read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed the man who does this, and the Son of Man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner or Gentiles who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. And also the foreigners or Gentiles who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. This is Isaiah's prophecy inspired by the Holy Spirit about future, when the kingdom of God realized in the life and person of Messiah, that is Jesus of Nazareth. When Messiah comes and his kingdom establishes, such fulfillment of Isaiah prophecy will be self-evident. The later part of Isaiah, out of his 66 chapters, like today, chapter 56 is about the future Messianic kingdom. That's the vision Isaiah prophesied. Kingdom of God is finally realized in the life of miserable people, like those handicapped, deformed in their body, among the Jews and Gentiles. Those two groups of people were prohibited from worshiping God in God's house, like temple in Jerusalem. But when the kingdom of God realized in the life and mission of Jesus Christ, such outcast caress will be totally restored to God of universe, God of true covenant, who created Garden of Eden, who created Adam and his wife after God's own image, who also, after Adam's free fall, Adam's voluntary rebellion against his creator God, God immediately came to Adam and his wife and promised them to restore them by their promised child son, to completely restore their whole miserable status to innocent and above all blessed status. That's total restoration from misery to blessed place, better than original innocent stage. That is what Adam and his wife enjoyed before their fall. But God promised immediately when he visited them in the Garden of Eden, while they were afraid of meeting God because of their guilt, God promised them, if by your promised son, you will be restored far better than your original innocent stage. That is what realized in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Apostle Paul persecuted Church of Jesus Christ, his heart was not at peace at all. His conscience was stricken by the Holy Spirit. But once he met in bright, shining light, resurrected Jesus Christ, graciously, he was completely converted to God from mere external worship of God to internal spiritual worship of God. Here, Isaiah chapter 56 is all about that. The true spiritual worshipers. What are true marks of a spiritual worshiper? In the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that started 2,000 years ago at the coming of Jesus Christ, at his death, upon his resurrection, upon pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the Pentecost day, that kingdom of God began expanding, still expanding. That is why chapter 56 is far, far more significantly important prophecy about such expansion of God's free, gracious gospel. It is a gospel call against Old Testament ceremony-related worship. It is not anymore external observance of God's command. It is now spiritual observance of God's command. and who is worthy to be called perfect observer of God's command? No one. Only true observer of God's command is the Son of God, true man, Jesus Christ, by His living sacrifice on the cross. We are graciously admitted, called, considered righteous. Here today, the prophetic statement is this: thus says the Lord God, preserve justice and do righteousness. Already here, God is saying, do not focus on external ceremonial observance of my command. Meanwhile, all the rest of the week, even on Sabbath day, your internal heart is filled with self-will, worldly pleasure. But only on Sabbath day, you observe external ceremony to please men, not please God, because your daily, weekday life activities full of self-willed, flesh desire-filled life. Already, through prophecy of Isaiah, the Lord God prophesied what is true spiritual worship is like. So, preserve justice and do righteousness is imitating internally and reflecting internal integrity externally. Both ways, exert yourself to imitate true God. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. See? Our standards is not our external observance of God's command. Our standard is only God's righteousness, God's salvation, because no human being can obtain by his own, her own effort. Only through Messiah, Jesus, we can receive righteousness and salvation from our sin and its misery. It is a gift. That's why such prophecy is good news, gospel. Verse 2, how blessed is the man who does this, the Son of Man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, keeps his hand from doing any evil. God gave Israel special command, 10 words, so-called 10 commandments. First 4 commandments are related to worshiping God alone. The rest 6 commandments relating to how to live as a true spiritual worshiper among neighbors. So here God says, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, that first tablet relating to worshiping God alone, keeps his hand from doing any evil, that's related to daily activity among his neighbors, contained in second tablet. So, as a whole, true worship is to behave among his people, doing his best to do justice, to do righteousness, as Jesus summarizes, love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. That is the rule of the law and prophet. See? This is what finally fulfilled and realized in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Isaiah chapter 56, first 8 verses tell us the true meaning of spiritual worship. And it is all based upon God's grace and mercy shown in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because no human being can fulfill God's command, God's covenant. So, Apostle Paul rightly says, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as your living sacrifice. It is spiritual worshipers' heart attitude, holy and acceptable to God, that is your spiritual worship. But externally and internally, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See? So, denying our self-will is prerequisite to enter in the temple of God in our heart to worship our God who is spirit, in spirit and truth, not by human invention, human custom, human pompous ceremonies, but internal obedience to God who is spirit. According to the word of God, that's what exactly Jesus exhibited while he was on earth. Sticking to God's command, internally, externally. Ready to lay down his own life for his friend. His friends were all totally corrupt sinners like you and me. See? So by our own sinful nature, we cannot love God, love our neighbors. But here, as Isaiah here already prophesied, how blessed the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, keeps his hand from doing any evil. Who can do that? Those who put their faith in Jesus, who did all this for the sinners and called us his friends. None of us should be proud of ourselves, but bragging Jesus alone. Verse 3, let not the foreigners or Gentiles who has joined himself to God say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Yes, it was done that way until Jesus' life. Nor let the eunuch say, all deformed group of people. Eunuch is just one type. All the rest, like lepers, all kinds, say, behold, I am a dry tree. Hopeless, miserable. Because those two groups are completely shut off from worshiping true God in Old Testament times until Jesus' lifetime. But God said, verse 4, says the Lord to the eunuch who keep my Sabbath, who take seriously my covenant with the Jews. That was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ, in the death of Jesus Christ. Those eunuch choose what pleases me, what pleases Yahweh God. Trusting, believing, accepting his free gift of gospel in the name of Jesus. Hold fast my covenant. Jesus kept God's covenant. So when eunuchs, when Gentiles, they put their faith in God, nothing but God the Son, Jesus, denying all their efforts to reform themselves, exercising their all willpower to make themselves better, to look better, in God's eyes. But all they failed, including Old Testament saints, patriarchs, Jews, all failed when they exercise their own will, performing all external ceremonies. But when Messiah was given to them, those who hold on to that Messiah, keeping my Sabbath, choose what pleases God, because Messiah is God's complete delight. Because God said, he is my son, I'm well pleased in him. If we put our faith in that Jesus, God is our delight. And we delight in God. And God delights in us through Jesus. That is true marks of spiritual worshiper. No wonder Jesus told Samaritan woman by Jacob's well, it is the time to worship God in truth and spirit, because God is earnestly seeking such spiritual true worshippers now, because I came to establish such spiritual kingdom of God that was once in Garden of Eden lost, but promised, completely restored to better than original paradise. Now I am here to start such restoration, to rebuild lost paradise. To eunuchs, to Gentiles, and God will give enormous privilege. Verse 5, in my house, within my temple walls, memorial, name, better than name of sons and daughters, those who have children. They are bragging about their many children, but God said, no, when you put your faith in me, through Jesus Christ, Messiah, then your name will be memorialized in God's kingdom far better than human offspring's numerous numbers. Verse 6, Gentiles who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servant, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, holds fast my covenant. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. What is God's altar? That is spiritual temple, Jesus Christ. For my house will be called a house of prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus. All prayers done by Jesus' name according to God's will, not my selfish will, be accepted. And that spiritual temple will be called house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them. Those dispersed Israel I'll bring to me first, but I will gather on top of them. I will gather Gentiles, outcast class, to those already gathered Israelites. Thus says the Lord. Who is true spiritual worshiper? Those who put their faith in their own self-willed Christian Sabbath observing Christians? No. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, who kept 10 commandments completely for us and gave us His merit to cover our sins and miseries. And God said, I will give miracle through Jesus, and I will make Gentiles, including you and me, many American Christians, European Christians, South American Christians, Asian Christians, African Christians, Gentiles will be called and gathered to already gathered remnant Jewish Christians. And God promised to us by Isaiah's prophecy, the door is wide open. And forget about your own self-reformed, self-willed religious activities. During 6 days, hold on to internally, keeping pure conscience and doing good to your neighbor as do to yourselves. And on Sabbath, Christian Sabbath day, internally coming to God in the name of Jesus, so that your 6 days doing justice, doing righteousness in the name of Jesus will please God. And God will be our delight. And we are God's delight. As Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, God already promised and told Old Testament saints, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holiday, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holiday of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going on your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the Lord's prophecy and fulfilled in Jesus. If we have such internal, humble, obedient attitude during weekdays and on Christian Sabbath, Lord's Day, God will be our true delight, not burdensome Lord's Day, Christian Sabbath Day. And we will be God's delight through our mediator, Jesus Christ. That is true mark of spiritual worshiper. Amen.